Well, and I don't think you should say boss.
You don't want me to say boss?
No. Colleague, maybe?
Okay. All right. I'll be a little bit. I knew you wouldn't like that, but I'm going to talk about you for a second, and you're going to be flattered.
Well, and again, I'm used to it.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Emma McAdam here. In case you don't know me, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And today I am super excited because I have my colleague slash best friend slash clinical director at the practice I work at here. And I have been trying to get Monica. I've been trying to get you on my channel for like 2.5 years, right?
Yes, yes. It's exciting to be here finally.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really excited that she is taking time out of her super busy schedule to talk. We've got some important things to talk about. So she has been down in the trenches doing dozens of therapy sessions a week ever since this coronavirus thing has come up. And she's been giving, you know, advice to people who are really stressed out and helping them through this process with all the stress and all the anxiety that's going on. So I just wanted to introduce you to Monica really quick. This is Monica Bloom.
Thanks.
She is wonderful. And just so you guys know about her, she's been doing therapy for over 20 years. She is an amazing therapist. She's excellent with pretty much everything, but she also specializes in working with people who have really difficult situations and really difficult cases. And she loves working with some of the hardest problems that are out there. And she's really good at it. She also is a world-class marathoner. Okay, I don't know about world-class, but she's done like dozens of them. How many marathons have you done, Monica?
I just completed 78 full marathons.
Only but 78.
Everyone around me's done 123 or 156. So
yeah, so 78's like nothing, right? Nothing. But my favorite thing about Monica is sometimes she cross trains by doing rollerblading. Do you still rollerblade at all?
Oh, I love rollerblading. Many of my favorite life analogies are from rollerblading.
Really? Do you have one to share right now?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I do. One that I like is about fearlessness. I have a life philosophy that is we will not live in fear. Why it needs to be in the Queen's We, I don't know. But it is in my philosophy, we will not live in fear. And for a long time, I couldn't use brakes with rollerblades. But I really like to go fast. So I wanted to go down this really big hill. But I can't stop at the bottom. So it was a little scary. So I prepared in my mind. I decided I was definitely going down the hill. And I prepared in my mind that I was going down the hill. And when the day came, I got to the top of the hill, rollerblades on, nerve up, I'm ready to go down the hill, and I start going down the hill. And within about 3 seconds, I'm picking up speed so quickly that I start to think I could crash badly. And I think one little piece of gravel getting caught in my wheel and I'm a goner, right? But it occurs to me that I've decided to go down the hill already. I've already made the decision to go down the hill. There's no turning back. So either I can flail and probably wreck just out of fear, or I can hold my arms out and yell out, woohoo, and go down the hill and enjoy it. And I did. And it was fabulous. And I've gone down many times since and learned to use brakes since then. But the cool thing is that it was such an analogy of fear to me because we cannot live in fear. So we do everything we can. So I wear my helmet, I wear my elbow pads, but I've made the decision and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going down the hill and I have never wrecked yet on the hill. So it's a really fun hill.
That's an excellent story. I don't think I've heard that one before. But I love the image of you like flying down the hill. Yes.
Woo! That's
good for you. That's cool. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. Yeah. And we're probably all feeling a little bit like right now, like we are flying down a hill on rollerblades without brakes.
And we didn't make the decision to go down, right?
No, we didn't choose this hill. Yeah. Well, cool. That's awesome. So Monica's here. She's got, you've got all this wonderful experience, not just in the last 20 plus years, but
28.
28? Wow. Yeah. She's really, you know what you're doing. I love it. I love working with Monica. And so we're just going to talk about some of the things she's saying to her clients, so you guys can get a sneak peek into, you know, what Monica's doing in session, the kinds of concerns that are coming up. And Monica, you can tell us, you know, some of the things that are working for these people that you're working with who are really stressed out, freaked out, or whatever. Thank you for being here. So first off, tell me what you're seeing. Tell me what people are saying. Like, you're doing so many sessions with so many people. What are these common concerns that are coming up that the people you're working with are having?
Mm-hmm. Of course, anxiousness, fear. It's strange out there. It just doesn't feel normal at all. And so people who have anxiety have more anxiety, and people who don't have anxiety now feel very anxious about everything going on. And I see people worried about their ability to handle this.
Yeah.
And they're kind of telling themselves, I think it's going to be okay, but maybe it isn't. What if it isn't? Like, what, you know, what if I can't handle this, or how will I manage it?
Yeah. And so, And so you're probably working with a lot of people who, I mean, already have anxiety. They've got the other struggles they're dealing with. And now on top of it, they've got coronavirus, their kids at home, self-isolation, or they're trying to work from home, and they're not having those resources like being with their friends or being at work with their coworkers.
So many of the healthy things we do to manage our feelings, we can't do right now. And couples who were struggling in their marriage are now thrust together, and people who were like needing schedule in their lives suddenly have none. And it's, I think maybe the secondary effects of the coronavirus pandemic are affecting people more than the immediate ones right away. I'm seeing less fear about, am I going to catch the virus and get very ill? And more fear about, my husband isn't working right now, or I'm not working right now, or my children are struggling now with learning, or they, you know, how this is going to affect. I had a client say yesterday, I'm terrified, and she was a bit joking, that the movie theaters will all close down, and that's a huge way for me to relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like all of those little ways this affects all of us.
Yeah. I mean, so many things right now. Every single person's any coping resource that they have that's outside of their home or outside of themselves is kind of wiped away right now.
Mm-hmm. Right? So true.
So what do you tell people who are feeling so much fear and so much worry? And reasonably, what do you tell them? How are you helping those people?
Naturally, I think the first thing to remember is, it is normal to have feelings about this. That doesn't mean you're particularly weak, or you're having a meltdown, or you're not coping with it. Mm-hmm. It is normal to have all of those feelings of unease about this. And that the feelings don't mean I'm weak, or I'm like not healthy, whatever. And often we think that if I feel scared, if I shed a few tears, if I need to take a break in the middle of something I normally don't need to take a break in the middle of, that's normal. This is normal. Being completely without feeling about this, that would maybe feel less natural right now.
Yeah. Like, the only people who aren't feeling some anxiety right now are probably psychopaths, right?
They've developed really strong coping mechanisms to block out feeling, which I never suggest, right?
Right, but yeah, because,
therapist, so.
Yeah, and you might notice as we talk, I mean, Monica, I just got to tell people that we are going to laugh and joke around a little bit, because this is what me and Monica do, and I don't know if it's ambulance humor, but I do think it's like an intentional approach to facing the wholeness of the emotions going on right now. That is, I mean, you can find ways to laugh and also honestly face something that's scary, right? And like what you're saying, it's normal to feel a little worried. It's normal maybe to lose a little sleep or to cry. And this is not a sign that you're broken. It's not a sign that you're disordered. And it's not a sign that you're like a failure. It's a sign that you're human, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just to touch on that humor thing, I think that being, you know, we're always dealing with very, very heavy, sad, upsetting things. And I think humor is a way for us to manage, to regulate our feelings. Now, if it were disrespecting somebody's pain or something like that, that wouldn't feel healthy. But to be able to just like, you know, take it down for a minute when we've dealt with some very intense things, and then we take it down for a minute, we, you know, remember that the entire, we get to take in the entire experience, not just the scary pieces of the experience. And that's a helpful thing.
I was just listening to this podcast yesterday called 3 and 30. And one of the ideas that they shared was that emotional intelligence is not just feeling good all the time. Emotional intelligence, one big part of it is the ability to feel a couple of emotions at once, the ability to have like this, you know, this breadth of emotional experience. And I talk about this in some of my other videos about kind of emotional compression, and that's by just feeling anxious. I mean, we shouldn't just be feeling anxiety, but that's a real and normal and natural part of our experience. And we can have that with other emotions too. So you start with your clients by helping them be like, okay, this is normal. It's okay. It's okay to feel anxious right now.
Absolutely. And we aren't going to die from feeling anxious. Like, anxiety has this way of making us feel like, I use the example of like the house is on fire, do something like really loud, do something, right? But we assess, is the house on fire? And then sometimes we don't do something about our anxiety, right? In this situation, we say, okay, what can we do? What do we need to do? And then what do we not need to do? But I love your point about having there be some depth with our emotions and not only anxiety or only lightheartedness or whatever, that there can be, you know, we can use a lot of our strengths to manage the feelings that we're having about it.
Yeah. So tell me about that. Like how do you help people use their strengths to manage what's going on right now? Because you're very solution focused, you're very strength focused and hope focused therapist. You're the opposite of doom and gloom. So how do you help?
Absolutely. I really love people, and I really see many clients who don't recognize they're already using strengths to cope with this. They feel like, I can't handle this. They're already handling this in their unique ways. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to recognize the strength they already have. This isn't, you need to develop this or learn this, all of it. You're already using a lot of really great tools to cope with this, some more healthy, some less healthy, but we're, right. You know, we're coping. And that's a really terrific thing. I like to remember that the way we build a knowledge of how strong we are is we do hard things. Mm-hmm. We do hard things. And then we realize we could do that because we tend to sell ourselves short. This is why I run marathons personally, because I have to be reminded often that I can do it. And I quickly feel weak. You know, I quickly can go on a run where I think, wow, I can't even run 3 miles, right? And then I have to remind myself that I can do hard things. Mm-hmm. And whether it's you sitting with an emotion, whether it's you getting in there and solving a problem or managing the myriad of issues that come with that problem, doing hard things helps us realize we are strong. And people really are strong. It's easy to, if we haven't been tested, if we haven't tested our strength, we don't really know we have it. This is one of those times we are finding out we really are strong.
Yeah. So you're seeing these clients who are coming in and they're like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can handle this. Can I handle this? I've already been struggling or whatever it is. And your message is you actually can do hard things. For these people, they don't know they're capable of it, but deep inside they absolutely are.
They are. They absolutely are. And you can see that from the outside. Sometimes we can't see it from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So but they are.
Mm-hmm. So can you give any examples? Like, what are some of the strengths you're seeing in your clients? These people who come in and they're like, I can't handle this, or I'm scared. I can't handle this. I don't know if I can handle this. Mm-hmm. What are some examples of strengths that you are seeing in them, in their capability to handle this, to do hard things?
So many. It's really it's such an amazing thing to work with human beings where they're so strong. But I'm seeing survival at its finest even before we need to survive. I'm seeing people problem solve. What am I going to do? My child is driving me crazy at home. What am I going to do? And then coming up with ideas. I'm seeing people network, talk about it, ask other people, research. There's a lot of scary stuff on the internet. There's a lot of hopeful stuff on the internet also that people are finding. And you can't believe in the last 2 weeks how many stories I have heard from people who have either had a positive experience from somebody else, read about something, heard about something, and they say, have you heard about this that they're doing with, for instance, the people that were singing in the windows in Italy? And yeah, people are seeking hopefulness. They're seeking validation that the fear is okay, but comfort that they can do more than just cower inside their house and be afraid, right? Yeah. So many stories local, so many people are telling me ways that they've been helped or other people have told them about being helped. And the really terrific thing I'm seeing right in the middle of the crisis are people who are really searching for ways they can do something with their skills. Like maybe I'm a chef, how can I help? Or I'm a teacher, what can I do, and we all have enough to deal with. Like, it would be fair for them to say, I just need to hunker down and take care of me and my family. But what we're seeing is people are saying, I need to take care of, like, I need to do something also.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been so cool to see people mm-hmm. connect over this and reach out, people reaching in deep and seeing their own internal strengths, realizing they can spend more time with their kids and be okay. Or seeing these moments of generosity. Like, I mean, even stores, right? Stores are now opening like a special hour just for the elderly. So the elderly can go in when it's quiet and there's no crowds, and they make sure that there's toilet paper for them to buy or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. I'm even on a group on Facebook called Coronavirus Miracles, which is kind of a weird title, but it's just a place where people pop on and share their positive or uplifting stories. And I'm trying to think of some of them, but people who, feeling like their neighbor brings them over a case of toilet paper when they were just running out, or, people who, I read one about this guy who actually contracted the coronavirus, and he was on Grindr looking for, just because he was bored, and someone he met on Grindr just came by and dropped him off a hot meal and left. Like, that was it. There was no contact or anything, but just people are connecting and finding ways to serve mm-hmm. in the most interesting ways that if this hadn't happened, they wouldn't have been able to have those experiences, right?
Absolutely. I can't believe how many people in my life have checked in. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? Are you, do you need anything? Is there anything? It's really great. That might mean they think I'm in the over 60 category, which I'm clearly not.
But obviously not.
But so many people just like checking in with each other and finding out. Like, we could not do that. But you see people who look for the hopefulness, look for the positivity. And when we're finding ourselves drawn into the scary stuff, whether it's based in fact or whether it isn't, when we draw towards the scary stuff, we have to remember, we start to feel that swamped feeling. We have to pull back out of it, connect with the world, connect with actually the world, not the internet world, and then remind ourselves that we don't just have the negative, we have the positive, so much of it.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask you that. Like, what's the difference between noticing the positive and just burying your head in the sand? Like, I'm just going to ignore and pretend like nothing's the matter. And I think you just kind of described it, right? Noticing both at the same time. Do you have anything else to say about that? Like, what's the difference between that and burying your head in the sand?
Well, when you talk about burying your head in the sand, I think we're talking about the difference between isolating because we're scared and taking a break when we're overwhelmed by the fear. So if we're saying burying your head in the sand is I'm not going to look at anything. I'm not going to even think about it. I'm going to pretend like everything's normal. That might be burying your head in the sand. When you say, okay, I've seen a lot of news today. I've been dealing with a lot of the problems. I'm going to take 30 minutes and lose myself in a book that I'm reading or watch something on TV that is completely mindless and silly, or talk to a friend about stuff that is not the coronavirus. Those kinds of things are taking a break.
Yeah. And as you say that, it makes me think like what you're saying is also about like, are you letting fear run the show and turn you into an avoider? Or are you making an intentional choice about what you're going to do with your time and with your energy, where you're going to look and what you're going to do with your life, right? So
you can
take a break by just letting fear take over, or you can take a break by saying, oh, I want to be healthy today, right? Or I want to connect with someone and I'm going to choose to make this phone call or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, and I love the idea of making a choice to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not good for me, therefore... Right. You know, I'm going to redirect or shift. This you do beautifully as your life motto. I know. This is one thing I love about you. That's why I was smiling while you were talking about it. I'm like, this is exactly how you live.
It's about a choice, right? Like, fear happens, but I'm going to choose my actions, right?
Yeah. I love it. And bad things happen.
Yeah.
But we're going to still choose when we can mm-hmm. how to handle it. When we can't, we're going to get through it. Right? Live through the moments that I feel too anxious to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then when I have that moment that I can, I'm going to do something that is helpful.
Totally. Totally. Cool. That's, yeah. So what else are you working with your clients on? What else is helpful for them as you're hearing their concerns and addressing their needs? What else are you seeing that's helping them work through this crisis?
Well, I know that I have a fairly Pollyanna approach to life, but it works for me. And it works for my clients. They appreciate it generally. I'm not skimming over problems, but you have to look at this situation as a once-in-a-lifetime situation. It is tragic in so many ways. But when you have the minute to recognize that you are going through this experience, go through the experience, like take an active approach in this experience. There are people who have never seen anything like this in their lives. And for all of the pain and sadness and heartbreak there is out there, it is still going to be an experience we remember the rest of our lives. The only time ever in your life or my life when the entire world has joined together facing a crisis, the entire world.
Yeah.
And that's pretty big. I mean, it is truly an experience. And when people can, when we aren't in the middle of the, you know, the really dangerous part of this and the other hard things we go through are experiences. I really think we embrace our experiences as valuable. This mm-hmm. is not an experience we want, not one any of us chose, one that we would, if we could find a way, stop right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're on rollerblades going down a hill, but we didn't choose this hill, right? I love that you told that story today.
Somebody like pushed us down the hill.
Yeah.
And there is gravel all over the road. But like we have to do what we can with it. I guess is what I'm saying. We'll be telling our children and grandchildren about this. This is a momentous thing to happen to us. And at least, at the very least, building strength and knowing finding out our strength, realizing our strength, could maybe be one piece of it.
Yeah, so sitting with this, taking it all in, noticing the wholeness of the experience instead of just kind of shutting down, and trying to see the good that can come from it. I think I'm seeing people really work hard to try and turn this into something positive, something they can learn from. People are being challenged in ways that maybe they've never have before. I mean, for most people, they've never spent 2 weeks at home with their family or by themselves or whatever it is. And so sitting with it, observing yourself, writing about it, journaling about it, right? How else do we take in this experience?
I mean, communicating with other people. I just feel so fortunate to hear people's experiences all day long about this and how they're finding out. And it's why I love people, because they astound me in how they are finding strength and hope. And so communicate with your friends, family, neighbors, online, of course. And, hear what other people are dealing with. Sometimes you'll be able to buoy up that person, and sometimes they'll be able to buoy you up, and it will be different for you at different times.
Yeah. But,
yeah, experience it.
That's awesome. That's cool. Okay, so what would you recommend someone, like, what are some practical steps that they can take with all of this going on? What should people be doing in practice?
You know, Emma, I loved when we were discussing this the other day, your statement of seeing and being part of the human reaction, seeing and being part of the beauty of it, and the trial of it, and the pain of it, and the strength of it, and all of that. I always believe in doing what we need to be prepared. In the rollerblading analogy, the helmet, that, like, you know, don't be foolish. Don't just throw yourself down the hill. Get prepared. And then find ways to help other people. Find ways. Get out of your own head and get and do something. Interact with others. When you can't control a situation, it's very anxiety provoking. We know.
Yeah.
So when you can control something, do what you can to prepare or adjust. When you can't control it, move to something else that you can work on.
Yeah.
You know, that you can affect change with, that you can do something about. Because just mulling over and worrying about the fact, the helplessness, the lack of control, the fear, whatever, that tends to draw you into anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so get out, do something you can control. It's okay if it's serving somebody else in a huge way, or if it's doing your dishes, or, right, you know, doing something active, walking around the house, or something that you can give yourself a little bit of strength to work with.
Yeah, I mean, because we can't control what's going on in the whole broader context of the world. We can't control whether the people around us are doing social distancing or not. We can't control what's going to happen with the economy. But the anxiety response is really all about, like, this fight, flight, freeze response, right? It's our body saying, we should do something. We should take some action. And if we want to move through that, then we need to look at what is in our control, right? And it can be really, like, just like you said, really simple things like doing the dishes. If you have extra time on your hands, I would say, like, don't just use that to distract yourself endlessly on Netflix or whatever, but, like, what can you do that's going to improve your world? Do you need to sit down and, like, write down some goals or make a budget or clean out your closet? And the other thing is, like, right, this physical anxiety response, it's very physical. So what kind
of
movement, what can you do for your body to help your body calm down?
Yeah.
Are you still running?
I mean, we have to just touch on, yes, just this morning, but we have to touch on that feeling that's emotional and physiological about being flooded. Mm-hmm. When you cannot cope, we need to redirect our thinking. That, you know, that isn't going to help you. And I think it's important to remember, we have to sleep, we have to eat, we have to keep moving. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, activity, exercise, walking. I don't care if it's sitting outside and looking at nature. It's just, we have to do those basic things so that we can rationally think clearly. And then when we can rationally think clearly, we can do more problem solving. But when we're not in a place.
I'm so glad you clarified that, because when you're feeling like you're going to explode, or you're feeling like you can't think clearly, or like you're completely overwhelmed, the thought of like doing a budget, that's not going to help anything. Or even like sitting down meditating, like I can't meditate when I'm upset. Like, I'm sorry, but maybe I should be able to. But like what you say, when you're freaked out, use that time to do something movement, something big or something active, or sit in nature, or take a deep breath, or if meditating works for you in that moment, that's fine.
Read a magazine article. Yeah. Do something that can get your mind off that and give your mind something else to do to lower the physiological response, the emotional response. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to think more clearly about, then you can do your budget, right?
Then I've you can, people,
yeah. I've heard people who are painting their houses, their, you know, all kinds of creative things. And it's okay if you're not starting a service project of monumental ends. It's just you're doing something that feels healthier to you, that feels better, that can lower that anxiety enough that then you can think about taking care of yourself and managing problems again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So taking the time to look at what's in your control, what's not in your control. When you're feeling out of control, do something like motor oriented or body oriented, something to soothe yourself or distract yourself. That's totally okay. Then once you're calmed down, then take some time to look at like, what do I value? What do I want to be doing? Who can I help? Or what can I learn from this? And seeing the goodness that there is to be done in a situation like this.
It's okay that you can't always see it, but when you have moments when you can see it, capitalize on it, right?
Totally.
And definitely do something active. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge believer in that. I know you're a huge believer in that. I feel like just a 15-minute walk gives you sunshine, activity, nature. You can't go for a 15-minute walk and not find something beautiful. And I often ask my clients to go for a 15-minute walk and take a picture of something beautiful and send it to me, just because you can't not see something beautiful.
Yeah. And what you look for, what you're out there looking for, is what you're going to find, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And in this situation, I'm not going to try and downplay like the seriousness of it and the fact that people are suffering right now. But there are some beautiful and amazing things happening. I don't think ever in the history of the world has the entire world been united in any one cause. But right now, people across countries, across boundaries, across languages are all taking steps right now to try and minimize the impact of coronavirus. And I mean, there's been times the whole world has been galvanized, but often against each other, right? Like World War One, World War Two, right? And this is, I mean, the only time that I can think of in the history of the world where everyone has been like, oh, let's fight coronavirus together. Let's do one thing together. Yeah. That's cool.
It's huge.
And maybe that's going to lead to like global action on other things, right? Right now, every single person's experiencing anxiety. Maybe that's going to lead to better global action on mental health. Maybe it's going to lead to better global
action.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. No, more understanding, more validity to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was talking to a teenage client just yesterday who, you know, for teenagers, their life, their world is social.
Yeah.
Connectedness, right? And we're seeing lots of stories in the news about how young people aren't taking it seriously and taking risks, right? This young teenager told me how their friend group was planning to all drive in their cars to the high school, park very far from each other, wrap up in a blanket and sit on their hoods and talk to each other. Just to have that connectedness, to share. You know, teenagers are very good at caring about each other, like really being hyper-vigilant about if their friend is struggling or if somebody is depressed or anxious. And so they had been talking as friends about how to connect, but also be responsible, be safe, you know, not be reckless, not ignore the issue, mm-hmm. but connect. Kind of help each other out. And it's really, of all of the hard things that we see about kids and their inability to grasp the significance of this. I'm seeing so many kids who are finding ways to take care of each other, finding ways to still have that social connection. I've heard stories of women who have done girls' night out online.
Right.
They've all got munchies and just like gotten together on a big video group chat, and they're talking, and they're still, you know, making sure the kids aren't bothering them, and there's all kinds of ways. I'm seeing ways that men are connecting with other men to buoy each other up. That sometimes we don't feel comfortable with. Like the men are more cautious about. The nature is just like, I'm cool, rub a little grass on it and you'll be fine, right? And we're really seeing that drawn out, but people are being so creative in how they're staying connected with each other. It's so fun to hear the stories of how people are coping and then sharing with other people about it.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's cool what people are doing, right? And people are having to be really creative and really intentional about how they're going to do it.
Yeah, there's so much fear and pain that people are dealing with, and that is no small thing. Mm-hmm. But even those in the most fearful situations are being able to, one of those strengths, dig deep and find moments of hope or ways to help or connect or happiness or whatever. So
totally. Well, cool. You do such a great job at helping people discover that strength inside of them and move through these difficult times. So
and
grateful.
You're also a wonderful therapist. I love you.
Oh, stop. I know, but I just don't want to tell people. Just kidding.
I have such a huge respect for you as a clinician. Mm-hmm. So great.
Well, thanks.
Thank you for having me here, letting me join and talk a little bit.
Yeah, it's been, really appreciate you taking the time to do this. So hopefully as we move forward, people just keep looking for resources and finding their internal strength, seeing the beauty around them and figuring out what they can and can't control, right?
Right. Yes, so true. Putting the stuff aside that you can't control and doing something about the stuff you can.
Yeah. Awesome.
So true.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us. To all of you out there, keep on going. It's going to get better, and you're going to have like a good, there's things that you can learn from this that are going to benefit your life for the rest of your life. So take an opportunity to really, you know, learn from this experience. This podcast was adapted from a YouTube video from my YouTube channel, Therapy in a Nutshell. So if you'd like to see more of my videos, check that out and go subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.therapynutshell.com. Thank you for listening and take care.